So this is from an article in a collection of essays entitled "The Varieties of Religious Experience," or "The Varieties of Jewish Experience." It's the original set of essays by William James. William James gave a series of lectures at Harvard, I believe in the late 19th century, called "The Varieties." What's that? Yeah, and the varieties of... I think it was a series of 12 lectures in Harvard in the late 19th century on the varieties of religious experience. This is a... Wilkinson called this a group of essays, "The Varieties of Jewish Experience," playing off of William James's lecture series. So here you have reflections on Birchas HaTorah. If I remember correctly, Wilkinson was honored at some point by YU... and gave this talk as his acceptance speech of the award. It's really an article in Shir on Birchas HaTorah. So I encourage everybody to take a look at it. If you want to borrow the collection of essays, I'd be happy to lend you a copy. So be that as it may, the section that I bracketed off for you was... Yeah, Yehuda, go ahead. Okay, do you want to share with somebody? Or yeah. That's fine. So what was the basic point that Rav Lichtenstein was developing here? Yeah, David, go ahead. Yeah, that's very well put, very succinctly done. So there's the norm, you know. We are mitzuvim, and gadol mitzuvah meosa mi she'eno mitzuvah veosa, which is not an intuitive concept, certainly not from a Western moral standpoint, where the idea of, you know, having to do something, this goes all the way back to Kant, you know. So having to do something, you know, means that your moral agency is limited. So if you have to do it, so. You know, whatever credit you should accrue for doing so is less than if a person accepts, volitionally, the responsibility to do something. So that is not the halachic view. The halachic view that a person has a calling to a particular duty. Kohanim are different than Levim, are different than Yisraelim, and men are different than women. Different epochs in history might impose different historical responsibilities. That's a big part of our commitment to Shivat Zion. We're going to take the idea of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, right? Certainly Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a different impetus in 2019 than it would have had in 1119, right? We could agree to that. So sometimes it could be by dint of personality. And Adam Lamed Elav HaMakom Shalipo Chafetz, person has a particular talent in this area, Yisachar Zvulun issues. All of these things, right, are really important. So again, there's the objective tzivuy, and then there's, if you will, you know, more subjective elements of tzivuy, what a person perceives to be the derech yishara shiyavur lo ha'adam, kol shehi tiferes lo sa, v'tiferes lo min ha'adam, you know, as the Mishnah Avos says, tiferes, you know, le'oseha is different for each and every person in this room, for sure. So there's the norm, but then there's this, you know, v'harev na, which has a unique expression in the world of Torah, but as David, you correctly noted, you know, it does apply to Avodas Hashem. Maybe we should just read that passage inside. I thought that was like a very exquisite passage. Especially when Lichtenstein said, is so typically Jewish in another. Israel, you want to just do the honors? However Torah study be denominated.
Introduction of first Jewish Hadara, their components of single bracha is striking in one sense, and so typically Jewish in another.
Right, first, so that's why, David, I thought you said is really accurate, right? Let's take transcends Talmud Torah and just so it gets to, you know, Avodas Hashem in general, that it intertwines these components. That's what he means by so typically Jewish, right? Go ahead, Israel.
First of all, this is a particular study of and the second relates to it as a prospect of Torah. The conjunction reflects our overarching attitude to Talmud Torah in particular and to Talmud Hashem in general. On the one hand, we learn because we lust, must. No category is more central than the other than the mitzvah. The Jew exists as a mitzvah, as all the commandment being. The active response to duty, irrespective of information. We have been collectively defined as servants of God, as Avadayim, and to serve is to discharge one's task, regardless of desire or gratification. But the Rambam,
on the basis of the Sifra,
stated with respect to the living in,
Penuyim uchanim avodas hamikdash bein ratzu bein lo ratzu shenamar v'yavar alevi hu es avodas olam oed. Right, we're not interested in your opinion here. Right, it's a command.
Is true analogously. It's true analogously of every Jew. So we should and would learn Torah even if it did not attract or inspire us, even if we were not turned on.
Right, so that's an important point in its own right. Obviously, however,
we do want to be inspired
and much more, right?
Our commitment to obligation and moral law is always coming to us because we strive to subscribe to these ideas of good words.
Okay, Shai, you want to take over?
But we do not share the Kantian polarization of duty and inclination, or the idealization of inner struggle as the basis, if not the definition, of moral existence. We acknowledge that who is a hero? He who conquers his will, and others for all. But the notion that
Ezo Gibor Akovishis Yitzro, right?
But the notion that moral and spiritual greatness is conditional upon the exercise of heroism is only foreign to us. Correspondingly, we categorically reject the persistent Christian antithesis of law and love. In sum, Yadav is law and law and law. It is also love and love and love.
So we should and would learn Torah.
As we would fulfill other mitzvot, even if it were to our palate castor oil. We aspire, however, to experience it as milk and honey. And it is for that level of gratification, at once spiritual and visceral, that we pray in imploring Baharevna. The fusion of duty and joy, obligation and gratification, commitment and fulfillment, is central to our view of Avodas Hashem. It receives special emphasis with respect to Talmud Torah. Oh, how I love thy law!
Ma havti Torasecha. Right. Okay. Okay. Very good. So the Ravarin goes on from there. Hey, this is, you know, again, Reuyin hadavarim lamisha maram. I only wish that you could have heard him bellow these things as. Really had the zechus, you know, Ashrei Ayin Ras Azos, to hear him, you know, I can sort of picture it in my mind's eye now, screaming, you know, not in a frantic way, but bellowing, you know, Shoei Ka'arye, you know, Ki Abadayim, you know, Lamod L'Shares, you know, on a Friday night, going on for 2 hours before dinner, was something that was very special. You know, because a lot of these things are in the Gavra more than they're in the message, right? When you see somebody who lives 24/7, it's not an exaggeration. As an Eved, as a Mitzuvah, that's the only thing that he ever wanted on his Matzeva, is Oved Hashem. And the idea of, you know, violating that will, either in the broadest sense of the term, on a Kedoshim Tiyu issue, or in the most micro sense of the term, you know, kuto shel yod, would have, you know, just been, you know, horrifying. So this is something that, again, these aren't just words, but this was an ethos and a credo for him. And at the same time, you know, to hear many, many, many times speak about this idea, about the importance of Avas Hashem and the importance of Avas HaTorah and the relationship between those two ideas that we've discussed so much at the beginning of this man, and such an important theme of brachos, which of course is in which sefer of the Rambam? Yeah, there you go, sefer ha'ava. So that's something that's really important. So I thought what we might do as a little bit of an exercise in exploring this idea is to speak about a remarkable passage in this week's parsha, very striking, and to do a little bit of a tour through the Rambam's utilization of this pasuk. And that's why I give you a smaller excerpt of reading to do, because we have more work to do just in the shir component itself over the course of the next half hour. So there is a striking pasuk in the middle of the Tachacha which talks about a possible cause as to why these things are happening. So what's striking? You guys are all familiar with this, but what's so surprising? Yehuda, go ahead. Right, sort of denying providence. Right, so yeah, like right, you're right. In Bechukosai, denial of providence, right, nikro nikres, right, that the Rambam deals with the beginning of Hilchos Tanios. But what's so shocking here? Yeah, Akiva?
It's not that you didn't serve Hashem, it's that you didn't serve Hashem as Simcha, as in the bar is so much higher. It's not just that you have to fulfill the commandments, but you have to fill it at such a high level.
Right, so those of us who are, you know, from Latvia, Lithuania, known as the Litvaks, you know, say, you know, what? It's not enough to be a Litvak. You have to, there's a chiyuv to be a chassid. You know, tachas shelo avas Hashem b'kecha b'simcha v'tuv le'vav. Must one be a neo chassid, you know, to avoid, you know, the calamities, the 98 klalos of the tochacha? Like, what in the world is going on here? That's a very strange thing, right? Like, you know, like the Gemara in Bava Metzia, as Vamis Torasi, you know, it's shocking to say that Tachas Hashem Avat Hashem Elkecha B'Simcha V'Tuv Levav Merov Kol. Like, how in the world can we even understand that? You know, the only way that one could even begin to deserve the klalos of the Tochacha, you know, would be to violate the Torah, to say that you weren't the greatest, you know, Bal Simcha, you know, Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha Jew in the world, that's, you know, it can, you know, bring upon you the onshim of the tochacha. That is, you know, shocking to the point of disbelief. And in fact, many Rishonim therefore reinterpret a pasuk, including very prominently Rashi. How did Rashi define this? Tachas shalavata shemukecha b'simcha b'tuv levav mirov kol. Not that simcha was some kind of an adjective modifying your avoda, but Rashi in this week's parasha. Ilan, go ahead. Well, when you had abundance, in other words, when you had all the advantages, the material advantages that made Avodas Hashem simpler, and you did not serve God, so that was a grievous thing. As Rashi says, Meirov kol be'od shahaya lecha kol tov, and that appears to be Rashi l'shitaso with the mitzvah of Bikurim at the beginning of the parasha, because what's the mechayev of Bikurim? As the Torah says, v'samachta b'chol atov asher nasan lecha Hashem lokecha, that you're supposed to rejoice with all the good things that Hashem gave you, and Rashi says there, v'amarte lav she'encha kifuei tova, right? That you have to acknowledge when God gives you good things, and God gives you this rov kol. I like to call this interpretation the rov kol interpretation, is that when Avodas Hashem is, relatively speaking, a bit easier because you have certain material advantages, and you don't do it, that would be a very offensive thing. And in fact, on the contrary, the mitzvah of Bikurim, and certainly Mikra Bikurim, seems to be acknowledging the fact that one shouldn't be entitled and one shouldn't take things for granted, and one should certainly serve God when there is plenty and abundance. Levi, I think you had a comment. Marba Da'aga, rather. Yeah, sure. No question about it. And you also, you know, have the potential pathology of Vayishman Yishru and Vayivat, and etc. So you're right that it, from one standpoint it's easier. Another standpoint it might be a little bit more difficult. I'll get to you a second, Israel. Let me just leave my finish.
I think like, I mean, first, if you look at middle ground versus a roll call sounds very excessive. It's not just roll, it's all cold. It does a lot. So
abundance.
Right. So, abundance of everything now. So at that point it becomes spiritually corrosive.
Can be.
Yeah, well,
maybe Bikurim counteracts that.
It's like interviews regarding Noah. One is that he was especially great because he managed to be despite his generation, or it wasn't such great.
Okay, I'm not sure that's the first makro that would come to mind, but I hear what you're saying. So the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah Perek Gimel, the Rambam quotes this pasuk, I think almost like a disproportionate number of times. So he starts talking about this, and he puts it in the category, you're developing the Mishnah Avos, of person who's Mekayim Es HaTorah Me'oni, or versus Me'osher. Ezra, you want to do the honors? So this is, again, the first time today that we'll see the Rambam citing this pasuk, Hilchos Talmud Torah Perek Gimel. very sad, right? Somebody who learned and then, you know, abandoned his learning. We saw somebody like that earlier this month. Who was that? Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. Ben Sion, was that you back there? Nice. Okay? Right? HaChodesh HaZalachem became? Beautiful guys. Okay. So he was Pirish LaHavale HaOlam. Exactly. So basically, what the Rambam is saying here is the Rov Kol kind of an approach. If a person who had every material advantage to study Torah didn't have to worry about where the next bill was coming from, where the next dollar was coming from, where the next bill was going to be paid from. So such a person had every opportunity. And if it was Mevatel Torah, right, here we're not just talking about Avodas Hashem Bichlal, but Torah Bifrat, if it was Mevatel Torah Me Osher, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to arrange things, Tachas HaShel Avat Hashem Okecha, B'simcha Tu Levav Mirov Kol, when he had that abundance, Hashem will take it away, and instead, he will be Mevatel Torah Me Oni V'Avata Es Oivecha. So this is again the approach that really minimizes the chiddush of the pasuk, because it says no, the violation was the failure of avodas Hashem, but it was aggravated, to use the legal term, the failure of avodas Hashem bichlal, and here the Rambam Talmud Torah bifrat, the failure was exacerbated by the fact that you had material advantages. Levi's point is very well taken, that sometimes material advantages can really be spiritual disadvantages, but again, that's if a person is not mudalachach, is not aware of the michshol that, you know, kochi votes and yadi can represent to begin with. Let's throw it over to Yehuda. Mazin umazin. Hashem. Right. No. The Gemara says that retention in general is a matter of siyata d'shmaya, and so therefore a person's state of deservedness would be of the greatest moment, right? Akiva P. Sure. Where's the Gemara? Remember? Hey, nice. And who's Mechayev es Aniyim? Nice. Yenison, that's the kind of Navi class you can relate to. Yeah. Okay. So.
Even though they have these like external.
What Navi are you learning? Yuma. You didn't say for Yona? No. Yuma. Davon Medei. Awesome. Okay.
Where's that?
Rabbeinu Tam style. What do I mean when I say Rabbeinu Tam style?
He says you should learn all Talmud Bavli.
Right. Shlish b'mikra, shlish b'mishnah, shlish b'talmud. That's balul bakol. Yeah. Nice. Okay. All right. Anyway. So the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva says the same thing, generally speaking. Perek Tes of Hilchos Tshuva, remember this takes us back to our first Machshava Shir. We did the structure of the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. So the last two chapters are dedicated to the Olam Haba, Olam HaMS. So who wants to do the honors? Yoni, go ahead. V'chein odianu b'Torah. She'im nazov ha-Torah midas, v'nasuk b'havale hazman. There you go. That he's signaling you back to Perek Gimel of Hilchos Talmud Torah, for sure. Vayishman Yishrun Vayivat, right? Jeshurun became corpulent and he kicked. Just translating the pasuk, guys. Maybe Aleim Kol Aros Milikno Solam Abba Kadesh Yovdu Birisham. So again, this is back to Levi's Heara. So people who again, grew fat on the land, and therefore, you know, we're not osek in avodas Hashem, and instead we're trying to, you know, revel in their luscious fruits and their delicacies, that the Dayan Ho'emes, very fascinating, the Rambam employs that terminology here, will remove, yasir min ha'ozim kol tovo ha'olam, he will strip them of all of these goodies that ultimately cause them livot, again, vayishman yishur and vayivat, and they will suffer all of the ra'os, which will ultimately prevent them from learning Torah with focus, and thereby earning olam haba, because again, the only way that we could aspire to knowledge of Hashem is through, you know, knowledge of Torah. Husha kasuva Torah, tachas, v'at Hashem elokecha, besimcha, v'tuv levav, may rov kol. So this Rambam is squarely within the rov kol approach, again. So twice the Rambam interpreted the pasuk that way, in Hochas Tam Torah, and Hochas Tshuva, and then, let's just read the last line here in the Rambam, Shebizman, this is the Yoni, the final line, Shebizman, bolded, Sha'adam tarud ba'olam hazeh, becholi, so it's just impossible for a person who's, you know, racked with illness and, you know, there's war going on and starvation, for that a person to really have the kind of focus and the immersion which is required, virtually impossible, I should say, that would be required and that would ultimately afford the person an opportunity to be zochah chayim haba. And this the Rambam speaks about in Hilchos Tshuva and Hilchos Melachim, and every time he talks about it, this is why we were nisave limos hamashiach, because again, l'shitaso, ein ben olam hazeh limos hamashiach, ela, so limos hamashiach is only important in an instrumental sense, dehainu, it allows us to focus on our Talmud Torah, shebehen, ninachel, chay olam haba. Okay, so this is, you know, again, what I like to call, you know, the minimalistic interpretation. Don't think that what the Torah says in Parshas Kisavo, Tachas Asher Lo Avad Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha V'Tuv Levav, means that your failure to serve God with joy is ultimately responsible for the kolos, you know, that Udafucha V'Hisigucha, that would be a bridge way too far. Okay, that would be, you know, a very difficult claim, and all the Litvaks can relax. But only for the time being, because here comes the Talmud Muvak of the Ramban, Rabbeinu Bechaya, and he strikes back with a vengeance. Ben Sion, put the fear of the Lord into the Litvax. Go ahead. It's okay, I'm sitting down. I've been prepared for this moment. Hashem Yis'aleh. Boom. Ah! There you go. V'lo ha'isa havoda b'simcha. So again, yashimenu akasiv. What charge are they getting you on? Right? A felony count of a lack of avoda b'simcha. Right? Yashimenu akasiv ba'avdo Hashem Yisala. You served, but without joy. Wow. Wow, now we're getting pretty far out here, right? The Bar Tanura says the same exact thing, by the way. The Bar Tanura in his parish in the Mishnah Avos, where it says, Schar Mitzvah, Mitzvah, so he has two dayas, but the second daya that he brings is that the oneg a person experiences in performance of a mitzvah is a mitzvah in its own right. So that Bar Tanura is actually an earlier comment of Rabbeinu Bechaya, effectively. So this is shocking, right? Milvada schar sheisho al mitzvah yeshu schar al simcha ve'al kain. I mean, he says these things. It's just really shocking. Yanish bechan. I mean, so this is the maximalist interpretation. We're establishing two ends of the spectrum here, right? So again, the rov kol is to say, no, it doesn't mean that you didn't serve Hashem b'simcha. It means that when you had rov kol and you had all the advantages that come with that, and some of the disadvantages as well, as we know, your failure to serve Hashem was the mechayev. So this is the other end of the spectrum. They're saying, no, it's gufa, your failure to serve Hashem b'simcha, that's the mechayev. I mean, Rabbeinu Bechaya is saying this with a straight face, that is what warrants uvo alacha kolakalos ha'ela, Urdafucha vihisigucha ad hishamidach. So you better put on your smile, you know, or else. Okay, Shimmy? Well, but what does Rabbeinu Bechaya say?
No, not Rabbeinu Bechaya.
Oh, okay. Oh, no, yeah, what they're saying is, Tachas HaShavavat HaShem Elkecha, generally speaking, Bizman, Sher Yishrov Kol, and Bituv Levav, and, you know, again, so we're going Min HaKatzah HaKatzah, so we've established now the edges of the spectrum. Can we develop a middle view? What's that?
I think the answer is yes.
What's that? Yes, okay, thank God. Baruch Hashem. All right, so let's go. So the Rambam cites this pasuk in two other places. Before we get to the Rambam, let's go over to Noam Barinholtz. Okay, no problem. Do you mind reading the Rambam, though? Since okay. We don't want this whole calling on you thing have been for naught. Okay, go ahead. So what mitzvah is this? Is it a mitzvah of? Simchas Yantiv, Simach Tevichagecha, very good. Right, so a person should not get involved in frivolity and alcoholism and debauchery and have the temerity of saying that increasing in these activities is only an increase in the mitzvah of Simach Tevichagecha. That would be folly. Shehashichrus. This is rather frivolity and foolishness. Halamata. Right. So you got to really focus and have a little bit of a mathematical mind to appreciate this Rambam. He actually is using a principle that we call process of elimination. So he says, if you read the Pasuk, says it's a mitzvah simcha, v'samach v'chagecha. And what does that mean? So you have a variety of options. So then he says, well, let's appeal to yet another Pasuk. Tachas asher lo avad Hashem elkecha b'simcha. So the Rambam takes from there that there is an avodas Hashem of simcha. So if you have two options, which is one of them, you know, he'll talk about it being Misameach, Eshaniyim, Veshaum Lalim, and Simchas Beis HaShoei, but we'll get to that in a second. And the other option is, you know, Holulus, Visichlus, and Shichrus, and those are your two ways, your two options of expressing Simcha. So how do you know which one is right? Excellent, Mikey. You are really good at this stuff. Okay, the other day was a joke, but you said it perfectly. The Rambam says it can't mean, right, shichrus and schok, because that by definition isn't avoda. So it must mean, you know, the other things that the Rambam says it means, and as we know, ein lecha simcha gedola umifurara, ela sameach lev haniyim haumlalim. What's the makor there?
Oh, that's by Batas Levenim.
Very good. Rambam Hilchos Megillah, Perek Beis, towards the end, okay? That's parallel to the Rambam here in Hilchos Yantiv, Perek Vav. Okay, very good. So, what's that?
That's the
talent,
what's that?
Yeah. That's what Mikey just did?
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. So, all right, excellent. All right, so the Rambam, you know, we say Baruch Shekivanta for the Rambam. So, here the Rambam is employing the Pasuk in a completely different way, to prove that there's an avodas Hashem called Simcha, and that it can't be holus, you know, v'shichrus uschok. So what is it then, affirmatively? Daniel, bring us home. To where we belong. Okay, Hasimcha. Right, this is the Rambam in his Peration, the very end of Hilchos Lulav, which is a mitzvah that's predicated on Simcha. For the Rambam, the definition of the mitzvah is Lismoach Belulav, Usmachtem The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvah says the norm of lulav is
in the
mikdash. And oh, by the way, if you're outside the mikdash, then it's only a day, right? Okay. So a simcha sheyisma chadam be'asiyas haMitzvah v'asayel shetiva behen avoda gedola hi. So now it's gone from being just an avoda based on the pasuk of tachas hashalavat shemakecha b'simcha. In other words, that simcha is a modus of avoda. So now he's saying it's an avoda gedola hi. I want to come back to that line. Okay. Oh, so is this the same as Rabbeinu Bechai? It's certainly not the same as the Rambam Hilchos Teshuvah and Hilchos Talmud Torah. It's not the abundance definition. So, Ben Sion, is this the same as Rabbeinu Bechai is saying that what the Torah means is that if you don't do every single mitzvah b'simcha, then you deserve the punishments of the Tocha, or is it subtly different? Go ahead. How so? Yeah. Yeah, and I have to do a better job about changing that up a little bit. I'm tipping my pitches a little bit over here. Yeah, Mikey?
It seems to be like the inverse. Like, Rabbeinu Bechaya is, if you don't do it in the simcha, then you're going to get this punishment. But this seems to be like, if you do it in the simcha,
Yeah, but then logically, he would be validating Rabbeinu Bechaya's thesis. Ilan? Okay, right. He doesn't actually say that, you know, it's going to happen, right? But okay, right. So the Rawi is an important caveat. I'll give you that. Yenison?
Separating himself from the aspects of the
Davka. Right. He's okay, but
okay.
Yehuda? I think there's something more. Okay, Shimmy, and then Levi. Okay, Levi.
I think he meaning that someone has like what described as the Christian notion that law is antithetical to love, meaning someone who like intentionally frames the idea of a mitzvah as something absent of simcha, like intentionally as to say like.
Okay, I like that. I like that very much, right? So you're like an ideologue about it, right? Okay, so sort of, you know, getting back into this Monea issue. Avi?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. Right, so for Rabbeinu Bechaya, some of you also wanted to say that. So Rabbeinu Bechaya, the idea is that every mitzvah should bring along with it, you know, a simcha in the performance of the mitzvah. So I think the Rambam agrees, right, that your general state of avoda should be to be motivated through avas Hashem and the accompanying joy that's associated with that. But again, to read the line, Hasimcha sheyismach adam be'asiyas haMitzvah uva avas ha'el shetziva bahen. So it's not so much the Maisa mitzvah that generates the simcha, but it's the recognition that this bonds you and binds you to the mitzaveh, the avas hakel shetziva behen. In other words, so what the Rambam is really talking about, a person who does, you know, v'chol ha-moneya atzim b'simcha zo, let's say a person who does a mitzvah but seeks no relationship with the mitzaveh, that is the mechayev. Tachas asher lo avata es Hashem Elokecha b'simcha v'tuv levav me'rov kol. The point is that you cut yourself off. You are moneya atzmo from the mitzaveh. Those are not extra words. Uva avas hakel shetziva bahen. In other words, the question is: in your performance of mitzvos, do you have a perception that there's a mitzaveh behind the mitzvah? I think that's really the pshat in the Rambam. V'chol amegis datu v'chol lekavo da'atzmo. In other words, if you make it about yourself. It's both sinful, v'shote, but it's also foolish. Know your place. Okay? In other words, when relating to the mitzvah, the Adon HaKol, Hu Agadol Mechubad HaOved Me'ava. That's the second time when he made it about the general state of the relationship. And of course, nobody did this better than David. Unekalosi Yod Mizos Va'isi Shafal Be'enai V'ena Gdula Be'akavod Lismach Ibn Hashem Shenemar Be'amelch David Mifazez Mecharker Lifnei Hashem. You know, and that's where... Yeah, yeah, right. So he's referring to that scene where Michal is Ba'ad HaChalon, Manichbad Hayom, Melech Yisrael, Shenigle Hayom, Leinei Amhos, and Avdei Ha'am, and, you know, David responds with the greatest zinger in Tanakh, Hashem Asher Bachar Bi Mikol Beis Avich, you know, basically your father, you know, who was pretentious and officious and stood on ceremony and, you know, didn't understand this concept of relationship with Hashem. So that's what exactly what the Rambam is citing here. You're absolutely right. So again, just to summarize, it seems like there are really three perspectives about this pasuk. One of them is the minimalist perspective, that it's that you weren't to oved Hashem when you had every reason and opportunity to do so. Meirov kol. Okay, that's Ram Hilchos Tshuva, that's Ram Hilchos Tam Torah. There's a Kitzoni perspective of the Bar Tanur Rabbeinu Bechaya that actually seemed to articulate this idea. Well, no, I can't say that. Part of the Bar Tanura on the list. The Bar Tanura does go so far as to say, Schar Mitzvah Mitzvah, that the Oneg and Simcha is its own mitzvah. He never says, but then you'll be punished, Tachas Asher Lo Avata. So that was unfair of me. But there's the Rabbeinu Bechaya perspective, which says, yeah, no, and Achanami, that's what the Pasuk means. You didn't serve God with Simcha, God is going to come crashing down on you. Then I think there's a middle point of view where the Rambam identifies Simcha, right, in, you know, Simchas Yantif, as an avoda, form of serving God, in a micro sense, meaning there's a mitzvah d'oraisa called v'samachta v'chagecha. But then, in addition to that, the Rambam rightly understood that simcha was, generally speaking, part of our avodas Hashem, but it's really about developing avas Hashem, being an oved me'ava, and relating to the mitzvah not so much just as a law, but taking you back to the mitzvah. In which case, I'll just finish with one line, then throw it back over to Yehuda and Levi. Ezra, we haven't heard from you in a while. Sorry, peripheral vision issue. So let's go to you first. So I'll just finish up with one line. So maybe, you know, taking it back to Rav Lichtenstein's Heara, the point is that you do the mitzvah with a profound sense of duty, for sure. But the deep pleasure comes from knowing that it's not just a dry obligation, but that in so doing, you're deepening and furthering your relationship with a mitzvah. You know, Simcha be'asiyas ha-mitzvah, avas ha-el shetziva bahen avoda gedolahi. So that if we could keep in mind that as we do this mitzvah, you know, nachas ruach lefanai shamarti, you know, v'nasa ritzoni, so that's a very powerful thing. So again, you know, we'd be obligated in the mitzvah in any case, but the opportunity to relate back to the mitzvah really is where the hana comes in. And if I could just finish with this extra thought, and that's why it's so uniquely important in Talmud Torah, because there is no mitzvah that takes us back to a Kadosh Baruch Hu more than Talmud Torah does. Mitoch kach atamakir misha amar v'haya ha'olam. Okay, that's my 2 cents on this issue. Let's throw it.